Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in the message I've been sharing this week, the Temple of the Living God. And we have looked at the Old Testament, the building of the physical Old Testament, and also briefly the very first instructions that God gave to Moses in terms of the tabernacle. And we've been looking at the symbols, the concepts that are placed within that structuring of that the tabernacle or the temple, that were according how they originated from God, and we've made application to the New Testament believer. And it's just a beautiful thing that we have seen what God has done. And today we're going to now look at what was the purpose of the temple. And I think you're going to be really blessed by what I'm going to be sharing with you today. So what was the purpose of the temple? There's 7 points I'd like to share with you. And as I said, this week I've been in teaching mode. So the first one was that it was a habitation of God. Exodus 25:8 says that it was to be a place where God inhabited. And so As us today, as believers, not only is the body of Christ, which is the corporate body of believers, living stones in a tabernacle not made with hands, Christ is the head. So as we have been saved, it's just not merely to be saved, but to be a spiritual house indwelt by God. Just as the habitation of God was true for the temple. Remember at the dedication when the temple was all built? I'm not going to turn to the scripture. Solomon prayed and asked. There were a huge amount of sacrifices being offered. And when he had finished praying that beautiful prayer, it said the glory of God came down and the priests could not stand to minister. It was the very habitation of God. Unlike in the wilderness, God walked with them. His presence, which was symbolized through the pillar of fire, through the cloud that led them by day and the pillar of fire by night, it was mobile. It wasn't in one place unless God told them to stay there for a while. And then when the cloud moved, they had to move. But God was very specific. He wanted the temple built in Jerusalem. So the purpose of the temple was a habitation of God, a permanent habitation, if you will. And also, it was a place in which God walked. And I'll share the scripture with you. Just as God walked with his people in the tabernacle of old, he desires to walk with his people today. Ye are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What do you notice about that? It's not just a place where God is, okay? Well, that's where the presence of God is. But it's a place where God walked. It indicates activity. Walking is active. Resting, sitting down is motionless. But when you're walking, you are moving from one point to another. And so God is constantly working within and without in our lives and circumstances. He is active. And our responsibility is to be aware of what he's doing with us. He desires communication more than anything. He wants to talk to you more than you want to hear him, which is true. He speaks out of his word and also by the still small voice, the prompting of the Spirit of God. All right, the third purpose of the temple was a place of holiness. 1 Peter 1 and 16 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's one of the very natures and the nature and attributes of God. And then in Psalm 93 and 5, the word of God says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." What does it mean to be holy? It means simply to be set apart to the service of God. Also, there's a connotation of being spiritually pure. And that's our heritage, beloved. We are to enter into a fellowship with God that He has desired. If holiness becomes His house, surely holiness becomes His saints in whom He dwells. We are already holy. Our spirit man is made perfect before the Lord, but there's an outworking of our salvation through our life. Day to day, the Holy Spirit is continuing to work with us, that we mortify. That's our responsibility. It doesn't say He does it. We do it. Mortify, Paul says, the deeds of the flesh. That the noun is implied, you mortify, which is an active verb. We are to take charge and not let us be run over by the devil. That is not God's intention. So what I'd like to do is take another little bunny trail, and I'd like to share some scriptures in Ephesians. And first of all, I would like to read, I'll start at verse 3 through 12. "Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Note that we should be holy and without blame. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." And that word predestinated, before we ever existed, before God created the worlds, He knew us. He had plans for us. He knew what He was going to do, because He's timeless. He dwells in eternity. That's hard for us to get our heads around, but that's where our God dwells. And verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Verse 7 says, "in whom we have redemption through His blood." Praise God for that. "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." There is a lot in those scriptures, but let's take a look at verse 4. It says we should be holy and blameless. That's what we were talking about in terms of the temple. Basically, the word saint and holy is the same word. And what is the purpose? Well, to be with Him. So we should be holy and blameless, as it says in verse 4, without blame before Him in love. And then in verse 5, this is another amazing thing. He's adopted us as children, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And then in verse 7, He's redeemed us. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is so multifaceted. Redemption means we've been set free, ransomed from sin and from the enemy. And he's talking about the mystery of his will. What is that? Well, that's his truth. His plan is his mystery. Now, he's not going to leave us in suspense. He gives us the key. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's the plan. Everything is going to be united in him, in a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. How exciting is that? The mystery is simply his plan, God's plan from before the foundation of the earth. And then we are his inheritance. That's verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, predestinated according to the working of his will, who worketh all things, everything after the counsel of his will. And beloved, we become his most treasured possession. It's us. We are his hope. He's got everything. He doesn't need anything. Why? For the praise of his glory, so we can worship him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And then finally, how do we know we have all these blessings, huh? Well, we do receive it by faith, of course, but let's look at verse 13. We trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also you believed. Listen to this, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit who came into our spirits when we were saved, that is our sealing. That is a guarantee, is a guarantor, if you will, of our salvation. And beloved, that's why we worship him. Praise God. Well, we did not get through the message, and we're just going to continue next time on Monday. And I invite you to tune in at that same time that we are heard Monday through Friday on this station. And if you miss, you can always go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and click on the broadcast, and they can be heard anytime. I love you. I do invite you to write, and I thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.